Please stand in honor of the gospel.
A little bit later this month, some among us will be making the long trip to Israel. It was a long trip for the Magi, too, many hundreds of miles, but they didn't have planes or buses or cars to take. Yet still, even today, God invites people from near and far to come and worship the Christ. He is the Savior of all nations, of the Gentiles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and mercy and peace, they're yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow believers in him. One of the reasons that I so strongly considered ministry growing up is it's really because of the teachers and the pastors and the leaders around me. And I just didn't complain about it. I don't know that I heard them complain once about it. And in looking back, maybe my memory is faulty, and you know how you whitewash things as life goes on a little bit. But when it comes to my own mother, and especially my father, who was a pastor, I don't know that I heard them once, not a once, grumble or complain about serving the Lord or about belonging to the Lord. No, there were hardships, and I remember seeing that growing up. There were hardships, there were struggles, there were those I knew who took their pot shots at people that I loved. There were enemies of the cross of Christ, and there were some who made for ministry setbacks. But whenever those things occurred, and the people that I saw around me, they never let it take away from the joy. In fact, ministry and serving the Lord was always presented as, what a gift. What a gift. And today, in looking at the wise men, I think the same thing pops off the page. Where do you ever hear or see the wise men complain about how long it took for them to detail all the preparations that needed to be made in order to go from the east all the way over to the west? Where do you ever hear them grumble and complain about loss of work and how much it costs and how much money they're going to lose from not being on the job and getting into the frustrating tiffs with maybe their employer who didn't understand why they were taking this journey, and so there's a little bit of tension between them and their boss? And on the day they left, where do you hear one of the wise men saying, "You know, guys, do we really have to go to God's house? Do we really have to go to his house to worship him? Why can't we just stay at home and worship him from afar?" Where do you hear the wise men, when they did conduct their travels, and when they lost sight of the star for a little bit, and so they headed to Jerusalem and they asked Herod for directions? Where do you hear the frustration of, "We feel like we're wasting our time. We feel like this trip has kind of gone askew." And where do you hear any of that? You don't. Instead, in the words they spoke, in the words that they said, you can just hear overflowing joy. You can hear their hearts behind all of this. Herod, where's the king? Where's the one born king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. That's why we're here. And then later, when they saw the star again, they were overjoyed. And nobody put a gun to their head. Nobody forced them. When they found that child, when they found the Lord, they respectfully, spiritually, what they wanted to do, they bowed down and they worshiped and they willingly offered him gifts of gold and of incense, of myrrh. They did all of these things. Everything in their character, conduct, everything in the words that they spoke, everything in their actions spoke and said to the world, this is a joy for us. What a gift it is to travel all this way and to see God in the flesh. What a gift. From Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul summarizes all of that sentiment, and he says that to you in his own way today as well. What a gift when he writes this to us. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Well, forget Harry Potter and whatever book of secrets or secret books he has, which I haven't read a one, but forget all of those things and whatever other mysterious books and secret books of secret wisdom that supposedly are around the world, because this, the Bible, bests them all. This is the star. This is the light. This book reveals to you the wisdom of God, what God was thinking, the mindset of God in all of its brilliance, what he was thinking before time began. This is what Paul said again. In reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. And so God made this mystery known to the Apostle Paul and to the other apostles, and they wrote it down for a purpose. Paul calls it my insight. That word in Greek pops off the page, and what it means is somebody who has all the pieces put together. Somebody who has all the puzzle pieces, and they see the beautiful picture of what's there. It's kind of like when you're watching one of those shows on TV that's a detective show, it's a murder mystery or something like that, and at the end, the detective kind of comes forward, and he's kind of proud, and he's excited, and he says, here's who done it and how it all happened, because he knows the who, what, when, where, why, and how. See, that's what this is. God had the Apostle Paul write these things down so that they wouldn't just be in somebody's head. He had these things written down so that the world since has been able to read these unchanging words, the Word of God, and so that these words would be right there for you to see in black and white, which you can open up your pew Bibles and see right there for yourself today. What Paul wrote down, the insight, all of the pieces put together without any gaps in it, no missing puzzle pieces, is the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how of God. And one more. And the for whom he did all of these things. You see, these scriptures in the Old Testament, really, they only testified to Israel's salvation on the whole. And so it was left hidden. It was left a mystery. And so all of God's actions in the past, what they say is that this isn't just for the Jews. Instead, all of God's actions in the past, everything he's doing this very day, everything he continues to do for us tomorrow, the great mystery of God is that this is for the world. This is for Gentiles, a word that means anybody who's not a Jew, an outsider, a foreigner, an alien, a stranger, a barbarian. Those then that are included would be those from the East who traveled to the West. The wise men were included in this. It includes people from the North or people from the South. It includes people from the West. It includes today you. And it includes me. What a gift. What a gift that God would write these things down in black and white for you and me to read, that we would be able to see the star, the wisdom of God, the mind of God, and be led to come with the Jews to this very child and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what all of this is about. It says in the scriptures, Peter also said, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it." He's talking about this. All of those sermons they preached in the early Christian church, he's saying, you have something better. You have something better than just the spoken word. You have the written word. It's the guarantee. "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Until Jesus comes again is what he's saying. David said the same thing in the Old Testament in Psalm 19 when he wrote, "The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." This is the star. David saw it in the Old Testament. Isaiah saw it too in chapter 8 when he wrote, "To the law and to the testimony," to the word of God, he's saying, "if they do not speak according to this word," meaning according to what God has promised, "they have no light of dawn." There's no light here whatsoever. But this does speak to what God has said. This does speak to what God has promised. And so the word of God shines as the star, similar to what the wise men saw. But it doesn't just shine in all of its brilliance. The beauty of the way that this star shines, the word, is that it's clear. It's plain as day. We can understand this. We can see exactly what God is saying, exactly who he did this for, and why he did this. It's all spelled out right there. Which means God invites you to come to his house. God wants you to come here. God invites you to come into his presence and to lay your sins before this child and on this child and hear what this child is going to do for you. That through the work of Jesus, your sins would be and are forgiven. And that through this child, you get everything God promised the Jewish people. You get to be an heir together with them, which means you inherit everything they inherit, eternal life. You get to be members together of one body in Jesus Christ. You get to belong to that family of believers. You get to be sharers in the promises of God, which he's all centered in Jesus Christ. God is holding nothing back from you. The mystery of God revealed is that it's all yours in Jesus Christ. What a gift. All for you. And that's not it. It says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." Now, I don't know if you have a special Bible verse that stands out that maybe you think about in the morning when you get up from bed. Maybe you have it in your bathroom or when you go down to have breakfast. Maybe you have it down there. Maybe when you get to the office, it's right by your computer or whatever you're doing. Maybe it's in your car. But if you don't have one of those special Bible passages, it just kind of sets the tone for the day. Think about making it this one. Because what the Apostle Paul is saying is, I didn't forget who I was. I didn't forget that I used to be that terrorist. I used to be that persecutor. I used to be that enemy to the cross of Jesus Christ. I used to be that hostile individual against God himself and his people. But with two beautiful words, he indicates how everything changed. He says, "I became." He's not saying, "I did it. I made my choice. I made my decision. This is something I did." He's saying, "I became." He's the passive party in this. Something changed here. Something miraculous. And he explains what happened by the power of the gospel. God did a miracle, and he stopped me on that way to Damascus, and he changed my life from being an enemy of the cross to being a forgiven saint, to being loved by God, to being a part of this family. God changed it, which means it's a complete change of status. It's a change of condition. God looked at him completely differently as now he was a part of the family. Paul called that drastic change, that miraculous change. He called it a gift of God's grace that was given me. If you spell that out, you know what a gift is. Grace means undeserved love, something we didn't deserve, which means if we didn't deserve it, the Greek word emphasizes it's a gift. So it's a gift of a gift that was given me. If it's given to you, it's something you didn't have, so it's a gift. So he's really saying, all of this took place. I became something that I wasn't formerly. I became this by the power of the gospel as a gift of a gift of a gift. He's really saying, in light of today's sermon, what a gift. What a gift. What a gift. And you can hear the joy oozing from every fiber of his being. He treasured this. I think the wise men would say the exact same thing. As the wise men made their trek from wherever they originated from and landed at the house where Jesus was, following that star, and they finally saw that Christ child, you know, they didn't come because they wanted to do something for Jesus. They didn't come because they wanted to give him these gifts. They came because they saw the great gift that God had given to them in Christ. That through this child, God changed them from something they used to be into something they are now. God changed them from being enemies to being forgiven believers. God changed their condition and their status in his sight because this child forgave their sin. This child welcomed them into the family. This child welcomes again in the lesson of the wise men, both Jew and Gentile, by grace. And so the wise men too are saying with the Apostle Paul, what a gift. What a gift it is to be here. And even that's not all with the gift of his grace. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. One of the jobs that the Apostle Paul spells out right here in Ephesians 3 is God's intent with all of this is to make the word known, to make this plain, to make this clear to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And what that is, do you know who the rulers and authorities are in the heavenly realms? Those are the angels. As the word of God continues to go out today, guess who can't wait to learn more about it? Guess who can't wait to see more about how God unfolds this in history and takes it forward? The angels in heaven love and long to look into these things. The job of the church, and as God's people, we're his church. Our number one mission, according to the word of God, is to reveal this mystery. Our job in Christ is to make this mystery known, which the Apostle Paul made it known to us. You're in the know. And now our job is to take this mission, this light, and to take it forward to the nations. And one of the great ways I believe we do that as a congregation, and why our ancestors did it and set it up, is not just by gathering for worship every day or every opportunity, but it's by having a Lutheran elementary school. One of the great things we are striving to do as a congregation is to pass these truths down, not just so our kids have the head knowledge, not just so that they know stuff, but so that our children take this message to our community, so that our children carry out the word of God with us as leaders, and they see the joy it is to share the word of God in their lives with those around them. Why would we want to do such a thing? Well, certainly because the Bible leads us to. That's our number one mission. We want the word to get out. We want to worship the Lord, and we want the word to get out. But by doing so, do you understand what we're revealing? We get to reveal to the world the way home. And in our own lives, we get to model that. Day in and day out, when we leave even today from God's house, we get to go home by a different route. We get to go home not going back to the way we came. Not going back to the way the world works. Not by going back to sin-filled things. Not by going back to the way Herod wanted those people to go back then. We get to go home the way this child leads us to go forward. We get to go forward in faith, saying, Lord, I belong to you now by grace. Lead me by your word. Guide me by your star. Lead me to my heavenly home. And as we do that, God says, this is the privilege you get. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal spiritual rights that in him and through faith in him, we get to approach God with freedom and confidence. Right now, today, you get to talk to the Lord with freedom. You get to go before the triune God, the ruler of the universe, who created you, and you get to lay before him anything that you want to talk about. And you get to do so in a way greater than what the wise men were able to do when they went to King Herod's house. You have more freedom than they had. Anytime you want. You have not only freedom to approach God, but it says you have boldness through faith in Jesus Christ to stand before God, not only in a manner of speaking right now, but whenever Jesus comes and raises you from the dead one day and positions you before your Almighty Lord, you have boldness. You have the right in Jesus Christ to stand in God's presence without guilt, without fear, without any consequence, with full, complete joy. Those are your epiphany rights through this child. And that's the way we want to go home, and that's the message we want to share. That's what epiphany is about. Epiphany brings to you the great gift of God in Jesus Christ and says, this is for the world. And unfortunately, as a kid, I remember going back after Christmas break and going back to my grade school class. And you know what classmates and sometimes even what I would do? Is we would talk about our Christmas gifts and we would brag about the ones we got and we would compare and we would contrast and we would get all wrapped up in the wrong stuff. What Epiphany is about is making sure we set apart the tremendous gift God has given to us. And the way you set it apart is by following the light, by following the star, and setting this star apart in your hearts and lives, which means as you go forward, can you prioritize the Word of God? Can you make it a priority in your family? Can you make it a priority on Sunday morning? Can you make Sunday school? Can you make Bible class a priority that you wrap your life around the Word of God to continue to let God make plain and clear to you His revelation? Can you set this apart, this tremendous gift, by daily taking that motto to heart of what the Apostle Paul wrote? I became. And treasure the grace of God, not just the gift it is to be a Christian and the joy it is to be loved by God and to know that our sins are forgiven, but the gift it is to serve the Lord. And what a joy it is to use our time as we have opportunity, to use our abilities as God has given them to us, those are gifts, and to use our treasures and to be generous with the Lord to further this ministry. Can you set this apart? By going home today and every day by a different route. By following the Lord Jesus and letting Him guide your life. These are incredible gifts. This is something tremendous that you belong to the Lord, that you are set apart as His dearly loved people. What a gift this child is. Let's keep him that way every day. Amen. Please stand.